name is Steele Crosswhite, and like I said, I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock. Last week, we started a new five-week series that we've entitled Win, Build, and Send, where we as pastors, the big idea is that we want to give you guys as a church an idea of where we've been in 2015, where we are going as a church, why that matters, and how you guys as a church can be involved. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about, just to give you what to expect, we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be talking about how he's using this church in particular, the Rock Church, and how we sense that God wants to continue to use this church as we move forward in 2016 in terms of vision, finances, people, and of course, purpose. And if you were here last week, Tony and Austin and I were the location pastors here. We kicked off this Win Build series by giving you guys an idea as a church of who we are as pastors. One of our deacons, Ben Mazaris, he's a total stud. He interviewed us on stage where we answered some questions and hopes to encourage you guys to know that as pastors, we're just ordinary dudes. We love Jesus. We love this church. We want you guys to know as a church that as your pastors, we are available and our desire is to serve you. We know that in the Bible, it says that you should be following your leaders and we want you guys to know us. And so that's why we did that last week. If you missed it, go ahead and go online, experiencerock.com, and you can find last week's message. As one of your pastors, my job is to shepherd you guys, shepherd the saints, the Christians. It's to teach you guys as Christians, instruct you guys. It's to encourage you guys. And sometimes we see in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul and Timothy that sometimes as pastors, our job is to inform the church about what's happening and educate the church about what's happening. And so tonight, my job as a pastor is going to be to educate you guys as a church and hopefully by default, encourage you guys with what you've been a part of in being a part of the Rock Church, what you are involved with in being a part of the Rock Church. And I'm hoping to encourage you guys to continue to join us in our efforts as we follow hard after Jesus. Or maybe if you don't know where to land your feet and you're kind of looking for a place to follow Jesus and run hard after him, we'd ask you guys to join us in what we're doing. So before we can do that, we need to get our eyes on Jesus. Let me just pray one more time. It's a lot to lead and to teach, and so I just want to ask that God would give me some grace and that you guys as a church would walk away educated, informed, and encouraged. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. I do thank you that, like we just sang, it's you who makes us born again. I thank you, Jesus, that it's you who instructs us, encourages us. And Lord, there were times where you encouraged, times where you taught. Father, we thank you that we're following your model tonight. I pray, Lord, that as your pastor, one of your pastors of this church, shepherds of this church, that you, Jesus, would use me, God, in a unique way tonight to encourage your kids. Lord, that you would use me to instruct them, to educate them, Lord, that they would be excited about what you have done in 2015, that they'd be educated, and also, Lord, that they'd be encouraged to move forward. I thank you, Lord, that I get this privilege to be one of your shepherds tonight. Thank you that you are our pastor, that we can trust you, and that we love you. We commit this night to you in your name, Jesus. Amen. So let me just give you guys a couple. This is called Amazed. It's part two of our Win, Build, Send series. Let me give you this verse. You've heard it before. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So tonight, I want to give you guys some vision so you don't perish. Let me give you guys a couple of reminders here. If you've been around for a little while, you know this. This is our vision, one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. What that means is that our desire in this church is to reach one person at a time in the name of Jesus with the hope of Jesus. We have a gigantic vision. It's impossible to do without Christ. We want to reach our world in our lifetime. This is our vision as a church. Here's our mission statement. You guys as a church should know this. I think Bill is teaching here next week. He'll probably ask you. Our mission as a church is to win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. Here's what that means. It means that as a church, we are uniquely set up, designed. We feel like God has given us a mission of winning people to Jesus, of reaching our culture to Jesus. We want to win those that God would call lost, those that don't know him. We want to win them with the good news of Christ. We want to build the believer. What that means is that part of our mission is to, of course, teach the Bible to those that are Christians or those who became Christians, and then we want to send the sanctified. What does that mean? It means we, once you become a Christian and you're built up in your faith, our idea there, our hope is, according to the New Testament, is to send you into your workplaces, into your neighborhood, into your world with the message of the gospel, to be on mission. And so that's our mission. Win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. And so what I want to do tonight in part is show you guys how God accomplished this mission statement in 2015. And like I mentioned, share with you what I feel like God has given us for 2016, hopefully to continue to crush it. So let's look at 2015 real quick. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, those who are wise will take all of this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. And so what that means for us as a church tonight is that if you long to be wise in following God, what you ought to do is look at how the Lord has been faithful in your life. Look at his love in your life over the years, over your lifetime. And so specifically, I want to talk about how God, in our history of just in 2015, has been faithful and loving to us. So I'm going to give you guys a bunch of information. If you are new tonight, we are so glad that you are here. What you can expect next week, I'll talk a little bit about this, but is to continue to talk through the Bible. But tonight's kind of an awesome family evening. It's like a family time. So just to kind of let you guys know or remind you what we did in 2015, if you remember last month, which would have been December, the Salt Lake City location, Rock, sent last month, it would have been a year ago. So in December, a year ago last month, we sent a group of Christians that were a part of this church for a number of years, around 90 people, to go to Taylorsville and plant a church. So that happened just a year and a month ago. And it's been an amazing year. It's been an amazing thing, but also it's been hard at the same time. It's been amazing because God is at work in that location west, and God is doing amazing things, incredible things. He's saving people. He's bringing new people into that church. They started with about 90, 95. The Taylorsville church that we, the Salt Lake City location, was a part of planting, started with 95. They're about 120 or so people now. So God's growing that, and that's great. It's also amazing because God has been doing amazing things over this past year in our location. And let me just give you guys a rundown. Most of you were a part of it, but it's kind of neat to look at our history and see the faithful love of the Lord. In the last year, I'm just going to hit you with a lot of information. We remodeled this entire building from top to bottom. We got a brand new sound system, a brand new lighting system. We reorganized our leadership structure where, as a church, we wanted to emphasize the role of deacon, which means servant in our church. And also, we wanted to emphasize the relational value of small groups and small group leaders. We re-emphasized our vision statements for each one of our ministries, which means that we gave our ministries a purpose, a mission, a vision, from the coffee to the child cares. We wanted to give instructions for why we're even doing these ministries. What's that all about? Why is it important? In 2015, we initiated what we call our hangout nights. A lot of you guys have been there. We're going to start that again next month. It's where we bring in a couple of local food trucks where we eat food together. We hang out with one another. Hopefully, we're starting to build community with one another. We started that last year in 2015. In 2015, we partnered with an organization called Local First. Local First is awesome. Local First is a partner in Salt Lake City proper to help community, help local businesses, help local artists. And because we have a desire as the Rock Church to be a part of what our city is doing, we wanted to partner with Local First to have a presence in the city. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. In 2015, we initiated something called Summer in the City, where we took a break from our small groups starting in May, and we started outreaching to our community through art festivals, concerts, farmers markets, art displays. Again, we wanted to use the summer to be a part of our city, to reach out to them. We started that in 2015. Last year, looking at the history of God's faithful love in our lives as a church, we partnered with the city of South Salt Lake. We wanted to make some relationships with our local government to let them know we're not crazy. We love Jesus and we love people. So we introduced ourselves to them, and that's been great. Last Easter, we had our Easter outreach campaign where a lot of you guys came maybe for the first time. We purchased dinner from Smokeabilly Barbecue for everybody who came to church that night. We've had two Christmas parties. We just celebrated our last Christmas party December 19th. This is amazing to me. In 2015, The Rock Music released 4 albums of original music. That is so much music, guys. We had Knowing Jesus, Volume 2. Yeah, Black Wave. We had the Dwelling EP, Old Soul. Lots of music that's for you guys to worship the Lord. We had our volunteer appreciation lunch. We added a small group, a weekly meeting. So now we have 3 small groups a month. And we also initiated our core group gathering, which Tony was talking about, and I'll talk a little bit more about tonight. We had our core retreat at Big Canyon Ranch, where we invited all of our small groups to come and take part of 2 nights of just hanging out together, being in cabins together, singing together, going through some talks, hanging out with one another. That was amazing. We also had our neighborhood outreach for Rocktoberfest. Last year, Halloween fell on a Saturday, and so we canceled church, and we had like, I think it was called Trick or Treat Street. We got the kids all candied up, and we gave them a bounce house. It was amazing. Lots of new people came to that. Also in 2015, again, I'm giving you all this information so that we can obey this verse, so that we can look in our history and see the faithful love of the Lord. 2015, we recognize 3 new deacons. Deacons is kind of a religious term that we find in the Bible. It just means servant. And so we had some. We already had Ryan Sadler, Tim Stephen, Tim Henry, Dan Moore, but we recognize Zach Soper, Adam Tolman, and Ben Mazaris. And again, like I said, we also initiated Summer in the City, where we are uniquely involved in helping our city and partnering with our city. Starting in June, just listen to what we did. Summer in the City, starting in June, we had 2 of our own art shows and concerts. We are part of the Urban Arts Festival as a church, the Utah Arts Festival as the church, the Salt Lake City Farmers Market once a month for a number of months. We partnered with Slug Magazine's Craft Lake City. What that means is that they did a huge art festival where we were both a part of that art as musicians, but we also helped tons of other local artists. We volunteered for that weekend to help them set up their booths, to help Slug Magazine do what they were doing in the city. We are part of the Twilight Concert Series. We had Temple Outreach, Gateway Outreach. The Rock Music had a number of concerts and CD release parties. In September, we were also part of the 9th and 9th Street Festival. We literally passed out over the course of the summer thousands and thousands and thousands of flyers about our services. We gave out gospel tracts. We had hundreds of conversations. In 2015, we've seen a number of people come to saving faith in Jesus. What that means is that they put their faith in Christ for their salvation. We've had about 12 baptisms over the last couple of months. All the while, we've continued to meet here weekly and go listen to our messages, sing songs, be a part of our small groups, the core teachings. In other words, God has done so much in 2015. It's been amazing. I could really talk on and on and on and on about it. And when we look at our history, we see God's faithful love of the Lord. But I think it's important for you guys to know this too. As one of your pastors, it's important to recognize that we've also been here at the Salt Lake City location in a unique time of pruning. But God has used that to grow us, to bring us together at this location. It's bittersweet because though our location here is growing, which it is, and lots of new people are coming, which you are. We've also seen a couple faithful couples, lots of faithful couples, leave this location to help plant that West Valley Church, which was very hard. Relationally, that's tricky. A number of those people, we were with them for years and years and years, and Salt Lake City planted another church where we saw almost 100 people go, and that was very hard. It is very hard. We've seen a number of people leave this church to be a part of another church because they moved to Ogden. Some people in this church felt like it was a perfect time to break away from this location and go help other young church plants in this valley. The process has been God-honoring. It's been good, but it's been a pruning nonetheless. What that means is that it's great, but it's hard. It's exciting because God promises to continue to grow us, that he prunes us to make room for more fruit. So it is a good thing when God says, hey, I'm going to take these people and move them this way. It hurts. But it's also exciting because God says that he's going to give us more fruit. He's going to make more room for leadership, more room for more people to come to Christ. So God has pruned this room in 2015. He'll continue to prune this room as a church, but it's for the sake of the gospel. So that's also happened in 2015, and it's a part of God's faithful love in our history. I'm not going to bore you guys with lots of statistics tonight, but I wanted to give you a couple because they're very, very encouraging. In 2015, through our 3 locations that we have in the Rock Church, we have seen 103 people come to saving faith in Christ. That is amazing. What that means is that's the people that we have met with. Those are the people that have written down their names. Those are the ones that have said, yes, I've trusted Christ. That doesn't count the ones that maybe came to church and got saved and left. That doesn't count the visitors. Those are the ones that we know of in 2015. 103 people came to professing faith in Christ. In 2015, we had 58 baptisms, which is super encouraging. That's them saying, hey, I got saved, I want to get baptized. Our weekly attendance is higher. Guys, this is God's grace. It's higher than it's ever been. We have an average of 941 people a week between our each locations. Many times we're hitting 1,000 people. It's great. God is at work. That is 2 times as many people as last year. That is incredible news. In 2014, that's 2 times as many people saved. That's 2 times as many baptisms. Here's what this means. In 11 years, looking at our history, being encouraged, in 11 years through the ministry of the Rock Churches, we have seen 851 people saved that we know of. That's who we know, guys. That's almost 1,000 people not going to hell because of what you're a part of, which is incredible. We've also seen 657 baptisms. That's very, very encouraging. Let me give you guys some money stats. This should encourage you as a part of this church. We don't just want to take your money and keep your money. We get money. We give it to the Lord. We give it away. Between helping other church plants in this valley, between helping other Christian organizations in this valley and around the country, between helping churches in Europe and in Honduras, helping them with water wells, helping their church plants succeed, between the Pregnancy Resource Center, between Come and Live, the Rescue Mission of Salt Lake City, the Center of Christian Therapy, where we partner with those guys, as well as what we give away just to the people who come to our weekend services and need help. You guys, as this church should know, that last year we gave away $126,000. Actually, more than that. We gave that money away. What that means for you guys is that you should be encouraged that God has made us a generous church. In 2015, we just wanted to help other churches grow. We wanted to help the homeless. We wanted to help those that are broken. We wanted to help those that needed biblical counseling. We wanted to help those people being reached in the next generation across the entire globe. And so we just threw a bunch of money at it. And that should encourage you. The Rock Music sold over 523 albums just at our storefront. Really, really encouraging. But here's where it matters. I wanted to share with you guys, I have not done this before, but I wanted to give you guys kind of a glimpse into what I have an opportunity, a privilege of hearing from a lot of you. I got a number of these emails that I want to read to you as a church in hopes to encourage you as a church about what you're a part of. A lot of these emails come from you. Some of these emails, maybe you didn't even know that this kind of feeling was going on in our church. So just let me give you 10 minutes worth of emails here, okay? Hopefully to encourage you. Listen to this. The Rock Church as a whole, and especially my small group, is my family and has made our move to Utah so much easier. We are so blessed to have found the Rock Church, and I seriously don't know what I would do without this church, without the pastors and all the members. The Rock has made getting to know people much easier because of the family nature, the huge hearts, and the honesty that's shared. Here's another email. I love all of you so much at The Rock, I can't even find words to adequately describe it. Knowing that you guys as pastors and the other leaders and our small group leaders are right there in the thick of it with us, struggling with the same things, being willing to admit their struggles, sharing those struggles, asking for prayer, helping us, offering sincere encouragement and not just lip service, reinforces to us that we're exactly where God wants us to be. No matter how hard times can get, God wants us to be a part of the Rock Church to help, encourage, serve, and even to drag the rest of the Rock family through it if needed. Here's some more emails. You guys at the Rock are awesome. We feel at home at the Rock. Thanks for your encouragement. Here's another one. I've heard lies before about being invisible. This was sent to me. I've heard lies about being invisible, and they get really loud during the holidays. But the only things that quiets those lies is prayer and being with my church family. I thank God every day that I get to be a part of the Rock Church family. Here's another one, all in 2015. Each year, this person writes, I am more and more stoked on our church, our family, everything about what we have than I ever was before. There's probably not one single prayer I've ever prayed where I haven't thanked Jesus for what I have at the Rock and with my pastors and our church body. I hope you guys in the church are encouraged. In my opinion, in this last year, the mood has shifted and it feels like such an open and loving environment. You guys are a great example of God's love and what it means to treat people like they're stepping into a home when they walk into the Rock Church. Here's more. Thank you for being you. Thanks for doing what you do. It means the world to me. I thank God for you guys, for your passion, for your servant's heart, that you're inspired to shepherd the church. I'm very grateful for the growth in community downtown over 2015. Someday I would love to share with you the story of how I ended up at the Rock. Here's another one. I've mentioned this before, but I think authentic community is one of the strengths of the Rock. We were extremely welcomed into community, and over the last 2 years, we have formed good friendships. Here's another one. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for the church. The church is important to us in our walk with God, and we're always praying that it glorifies Him. We also pray for you as pastors and all the families at the church. We're thankful for the work that God is doing here. Please, please, please let us know what specific prayers we can be praying for you and your family. Here's another. 2015, looking at our history. Should encourage you. I cannot think of a time in the 7 years I've been at the Rock that my small group has been closer. Honestly, I would say that the community in our small group is the most authentic it has ever been. God is doing good things in our church, even though life is hard. Here's another. Just so you know, we're thrilled to be a part of the Rock Church. Every once in a while, we toss around moving since we're so far away from family, and every time we are reminded that this is where God has us for a reason. Cliche as it may be, this is our family, this is our home. We're totally behind this church and its mission in Salt Lake City. Thank you for the dedication to the church. Thank you for being a blessing to us. Here's another. I'm thankful to be a part of a caring and loving church. I knew my first Saturday night there, I have found a forever church and a church family. And going on that retreat that I mentioned earlier, we did that core small group retreat where we invited all of our small groups up to Big Canyon Ranch. This person says, going on that retreat just reinforced that feeling. I pray for the pastors. I pray for the church all of the time. I love you and our family at the church. Thank you for welcoming me. Here's another. We are beyond blessed to have found the Rock Church. We're so grateful to have not only you, but the other pastors, that you know us by name, that you know us well enough to text us, to know our families. We love being a part of this community. It was a big factor in our decision to stay in Salt Lake City. We've never experienced community like it, and we're thankful for it. Here's another. We're very glad to be a part of the Rock Church family. To have you as leaders. I also want to thank you for all your prayers and encouragement. We feel very fortunate to have found a family in this church, and we enjoy it inside and out. Here's another. This is actually a very honest one. I really appreciated all of these, but this person said this. I think the Rock has a wonderful sense of community. And when I first started feeling anxiety worsen in my life, I reached out to several women at the Rock for prayer. Because of our community, and because of the safeness I feel there. This, however, is much more personal, and I'd prefer no one ever knew, but that seems dangerous, so I'm asking those closest for prayer. I have felt a few times that no one would notice if I left, or that no one would really care if I even came again, but those feelings were long ago, and I think the Rock is definitely one of the most comforting places to be. Here's another. We very much see the Rock Church as our family. I appreciate all of the emails that you send and praying for the parents. Guys, I have so many emails like this. So many things that you are a part of that you don't even know. When you say hello to somebody, when you welcome them into your small group, when you offer them a cup of coffee, when you introduce yourself at that time before the message, you don't know what you're doing. God is using you to break down barriers, to invite people into the community of the Rock Church. In 2015, we have seen that God has had us uniquely be a part of so many things. And over this past year, we've seen the faithful love of the Lord in our history. And it's not just my words for it. It's all of these people, and on it goes. And so what I want to do now is I want to, since we've looked in 2015, I kind of want to talk a little bit about 2016. Again, my job as your pastor tonight is to educate you, to inform you, and again, encourage you. In 2016, as a church, here's what we kind of feel like our theme is here at this location. It's this idea of growing deeper. This is what we want to be doing in 2016. Like I mentioned, last year was a real season of change for the Salt Lake City location. There was a lot of transition, a lot of people that left, a lot of new things that we did. And our hope is that for 2016, now that the dust is settling, our desire is that we would grow deeper in our own relationships with Jesus, most importantly, but also grow deeper in our community with one another. In other words, we want to be growing deeper in our love for Jesus and our love for each other. And so what I want to do here to accomplish this big idea is I want to talk to you guys about what our weekend services are going to look like and then what our midweek services are going to look like. So let's take a look at this service here. What can you expect in 2016 for the Saturday night service? The first thing that you guys can expect if you keep coming is that we're going to teach the Bible. Okay, so if you're wondering what we're about here at this church, we love Jesus, we love the Bible, we love people. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and so each week we're going to teach the Bible. The week after that, we're going to teach the Bible. The week after that, we're going to teach the Bible. We want to be teaching you guys the Word of God. So after our Win, Build, Send series, which is just for a couple of more weeks, here's what you can expect. After this series is done, we're going to be doing a 10-week series entitled Jesus is Better. And the purpose of this series is that we want to be highlighting people in the Bible and frame their faith. We want to look at people like, there's lots of them, like David, maybe Elijah, Gideon, Boaz. We want to emphasize their faith, but also we want to teach you guys as a church how every story in the Bible leads to the greater story of Jesus. Every single prophet, every example of faith in the Bible points to the Savior in Jesus Christ. And so we want to do a 10-week series entitled Jesus is Better because we want to highlight that Jesus is a better David. Jesus is a better Elijah. Jesus is a better Daniel. Jesus is better because Jesus is God. And so in 2016, when you come to this service, you guys can expect that we're going to teach the Bible. Here's what it means for you. Come ready to learn. Don't come here just to consume. Come ready to be impacted by God. Don't just come here and do nothing. Expect to be changed. Expect that God has good for you. When we teach the Bible, expect that God drew you here to teach your heart. We're also going to be doing this. We're going to be singing. Seems like a no-brainer. The Bible says that you and I as Christians should gather together, that we should sing songs of praise to Jesus. He asks us to do that individually. He asks us to do that corporately with a focus on Him. And so what that means is that in 2016, we're just going to continue to sing songs as a church. We're going to train more musicians. We're going to have bands lead this church in worship of the King. And it seems kind of like a given, like it's what should happen in a church service, but we need to remember it's biblical. We're so blessed to have these musicians. I'm so thankful to have the musicians that I play alongside of. So blessed to be a part of this church, to have all these musicians that love Jesus and love this church. They're committed and honored to lead. So we're going to continue to lead worship services and song. We're going to continue to write new music because the Bible says that we should be singing new songs to the Lord. Here's what it means for you. What this means is that you should sing. Sing loudly. Now, guys, it is true that we fashion the music here at this church, that we do the stage lighting, that we keep it dark, that we want to break some paradigms in this culture of what church looks like. So we're intentional about the packaging of this service. We're intentional about the rock music. We're intentional about how we do Saturday night service because we want to win people to Christ. But make no mistake, we also want to follow the Bible, of course, and build the believer. And God says that we are to be singing together to do it. So as a church, what that means in 2016 is that you should sing, and you should sing loudly, and you should lift your hands like many of you did tonight, and you should clap and be encouraged because once a week, we get to come together in a corporate setting and agree with one another that God is good, God loves us, and He's worthy of praise, okay? So we're going to be singing. Here's the other thing you guys can expect in 2016 at our Saturday night service. We're going to do communion. Okay, the Bible says that as Christians, people that have received Jesus as their Savior, we should regularly participate in something called communion. Communion is a time where we remember together as a family what Christ has done for us when his body was broken and his blood was shed for us on the cross. Communion is a time that should snap us back into the reality that you and I as Christians are redeemed, that we're saved, and it's all because of Christ. It's all because of his grace. It's all because he loved us. So once a month as a church, we as a family celebrate communion. We take bread, we drink juice together as a time to remember what God has done, that we are saved freely by his grace, and that he's coming again. And so what that means for you as a church is that if you're a Christian and communion is offered, you should remember Christ. Maybe it's a time of personal repentance where you go, God, I love you and you love me, but I've been blowing it. Help me in this area. Maybe it's a time where you celebrate and you say, God, thank you that you saved me. Maybe it's a time where you know that you have a grudge against your brother or sister and you need to go to them and say, listen, I've had a hard time here. I need to ask for your forgiveness. We need to celebrate communion. Here's another thing. We're going to be doing baptisms. The Bible says that one of the first steps of saving faith is that we are to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Most of you guys know that baptism does not save you from sin, but rather, baptism is an outward sign of what God has done on the inside of our heart. It's a symbol of the washing away of our sin and being born again in Jesus. Now, hopefully you guys know this by now with me. Baptisms are one of my most favorite things to watch. When a person gets baptized, honestly, guys, it shouldn't be like, oh, they're just in the water. They got dunked. Big deal. Let's go to Chipotle. It should light you up. Guys, it's so great. It's a time where we celebrate that that person who got dunked in that horse trough of water once was lost, but now is found. It means that that person is saved. They're going to heaven, and they're making an outward expression of what Jesus has done in their heart. So, God commands us to be baptized when we're Christians, and so what that means in 2016 is that once a month, we're going to make it available for you guys to get baptized. We're going to fill up that horse trough. We're going to heat up the water. We're going to get it done. What it means for you guys is that if you are a Christian and you have not yet been baptized, it doesn't matter to me if you've only been a Christian for a day. If you are a Christian and you haven't been baptized, get baptized next month. Do it, do it, do it. Don't hold back. It's so great. Don't wait till you're strong enough as a Christian. That's not what God says. He says you believe in him, get baptized. It's an outward expression. So if you're a Christian, you haven't been baptized, get baptized. Don't hold back. Come and see me. I would love to help you know more about what that means. Love to get you dunked. What it means for you if you've already been baptized and you're a Christian and you know somebody who hasn't been, you should say, hey, you should get baptized. Not to pressure them, not like, hey, been baptized yet? The worst Christian ever. It's not that. It's to say, hey, we want to celebrate what God has done in your life, so encourage them to get baptized. Another thing we're going to be doing in 2016 at our Saturday night services is the hangout nights. Guys, we recognize at this location, on Salt Lake City, on Saturday night at 7 p.m., community in this church can be a tricky thing, okay? We've tried to make it a little bit easier for you. We're serving delicious coffee. We made the lobby a little bit more comfortable to hang out in. Occasionally, we provide food from local bakeries and vendors, but we also know that it takes time. Because in this church, there are lots and lots of different personalities represented on any given Saturday. We have families, we have singles, we have young people, we have old people, we have professional people, we have homeless people, we have artists, we have addicts, we have recovering addicts. We have all kinds of people in this church on a Saturday night. It's a beautiful thing, but community can feel clunky, it can feel weird, because you name it, we've got it. And so what we want to do here is continue to do these hangout nights so that we can bring in a food truck or two, we can hang out, we can eat together. Our hope is that you guys would stick around, you would meet new people, you'd eat delicious food, maybe you'd play some games instead of rushing home or going out somewhere else after church. There are so many people every single week that this is such an easy thing that we can invite people to. We're going to start it again in February. We also bought a ping pong table for those of you guys that are nerds and carry your own paddles around. You know who you are. I know you and I love you. But bring your paddles, bring them out. It's like the Forrest Gump thing. Anyway, We got a ping pong table. We also know, hey, listen, I've got kids. A lot of you guys, we have a lot of young families here. It can be hard. I know on a Saturday night, 7 o'clock, come 8 o'clock, it's so hard. Kids kind of got kind of weird. They can be starting to melt down. So we understand that. We want to help you. We sometimes do coloring pages. We sometimes keep these lobbies or this Kid Rock lobby open for you guys as parents to go play with those toys with your kids. Yeah, you as parents go play with those toys. You know what I'm saying? Bring your kids back there. Play there. We put on a movie sometimes for the older kids. We want you guys to hang out. Our goal is that you would grow deeper in community, grow deeper in your love for one another. And so what this means for you is that when we tell you, hey, we have a hangout night, mark your calendars, put it in your phone, make plans to meet new people, invite your friends to church. It's an easy night to bring them to. Blitz your social media. Hey, we're hanging out tonight with such and such food truck. Hang out. Also, when we bring in these food trucks, here's what I'm going to ask you to do as one of your pastors. Light those food trucks up. Thank them. Buy their food. Tip them. Be awesome to them. Those food trucks, you know they are regularly in this community, regularly in Salt Lake City. And our desire is that when people mention the Rock Church, they'd be like, you know what? Those guys are freaking awesome. I would never go to a church, but I went there for one of their hangout nights. They ate a lot of food. They were the nicest people in the valley. They tipped well. It's a great representative of Jesus, okay? So you guys should be doing that as well. So that's what you guys can kind of, in a nutshell, expect at our Saturday night services. Let me talk to you guys about our midweek meetings just for the next little bit here, and then we'll be done. The first thing that you guys should know is what Tony said. If you are coming to this church and you are not yet in community, you want to grow deeper in community, you need to join a small group. That is how we do church life in this church. It's super easy. Go to the Connections booth at the back of this room. Fill out a small group sheet. Your name and information is going to come to me or our location administrator, and we're going to contact you and put you in a small group, okay? That is the way to get plugged in. So if you have not done that yet, go to the Connections booth, do it tonight. Now, let me talk to you guys about the core. Tony mentioned this a little bit, but keeping in what we did last semester, we're going to continue our rotation of the core, typically, not in January, but typically being the first Wednesday of the month, where we as a whole church come together at this building and we learn. And then the three following Wednesdays thereafter are going to be our small groups. And so this semester, or this 2016 at the core for the next several months, we're going to be focusing on the core mission to the city. We're going to be talking about four major areas that impact you and I as Christians in Salt Lake City, Utah. Tony mentioned this. I mentioned this. The first one is going to be the core. This is this coming Wednesday, okay? Here at 6:30, mission to the city, reaching the homeless. Chris Crosswhite, who's the director of the Rescue Mission of Salt Lake City, he's going to be coming here at our core meeting, and he's going to describe to you and I our unique challenges and opportunities that we have to help the homeless in our city. He's going to be answering the question, how can we as a church help those that are homeless in this city? How can we as individuals help those that are in this city as Christian people, men and women? This is a big deal, guys. Jesus said that we ought to love the poor, love the least of those among us. We have so many folks that come in here, and maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling to get off the streets. We're glad you're here, okay? We want to learn how to serve this community better. So mission to the city, reaching the homeless, that's going to be this coming Wednesday. Other things that we're going to be talking about at the core, mission to the city, reaching the LDS culture. We're going to be talking about that in the first Wednesday in February. Guys, in Salt Lake City, we live in the most unique place, one of the most unique places on earth. It's an incredibly spiritual climate. But obviously, as born-again Christians, we differ theologically from our Mormon friends and neighbors. And so what this means is that we want to know how to impact our LDS friends, impact this culture. So Greg Johnson, who's the director of Standing Together Ministries, he's also largely involved with the apologetic ministry of Ravi Zacharias. Greg Johnson is going to be joining us to answer that question. How can we in this church reach the LDS community better? How can we as Christian individuals impact the LDS community better? He's going to talk to us also about what is being done right now. There are lots of bridges that are being built between the leadership of the Mormon Church and evangelical Christians. Greg regularly meets with and has encouraging friendships with the apostleship of the LDS Church. We want to hear from him. So you can expect that in February, Mission to the City. Here's another one. Talking about the first Wednesday of the month, reaching Salt Lake City. That's going to be a mission that we have. What does it mean to be a Christian involved in this city? How can we, as a part of our city community, for the sake of the gospel, partner with things that are happening in Salt Lake City in hopes to spread the love of Christ? And so on this night, I wish he was coming in person. He's not, but there's going to be a video from Tim Keller who talks about what it means to be an urban Christian. And we're also, I spoke a little bit about this, we're also going to be hearing from our very own Kristen Lavalette. She is the director of Local First Utah. Kristen works daily with local businesses, politicians. She's going to talk to us as Christians and as a church, what specific things can we do to be active in our city for the betterment of our city, for the name of Jesus. So that's going to be happening in March. And then lastly, at the core, in April, Mission to the City, reaching our neighbors. Guys, we often tend to think of reaching people for Christ, but we may not even know what it means to impact our neighbors that we live next to. And so we wanted to equip you guys. How do you reach your neighbors? And on this night, Mitch Majeski, he's one of the pastors of our sister church in Colorado. He's a total stud. If you haven't heard him talk before, he's really, really a gifted speaker. He's a really super guy. He's driving from Colorado just for this night to talk about the art of neighboring, how we can impact our neighbors and our neighborhood. Get this, Mitch Majeski was just recognized by the city of Fort Collins for winning the Neighbor of the Year. That's a pretty amazing thing. How would you like to say that? Hey, what's up? I'm the neighbor of the year in your city. So he's going to come out. He's going to teach a little bit about what he knows and what he's been doing. I've heard this message about the art of neighboring. Super encouraging. So that's going to be happening, the core mission to the city. Reaching the homeless. How do we do that? How do we impact the LDS culture? How do we reach this city proper? How do we reach our neighbors? And then again, we're going to continue on our Reason for God study that we've been doing last semester. Tony's been taking about 15 or 20 of you guys through that class. It's been really, really encouraging. So that's going to happen as well. Also, in 2016, I spoke a little bit about this, but we're going to continue to be doing Summer in the City. We're going to take a break after the core is done, after we've been being equipped to be on mission in this city. We're going to actually go do it. Okay, we want to be involved in this city for the sake of the gospel. We don't want to just be here, grow fat, and get happy. We want to reach people for Christ, win the lost, build the believers, send the sanctified. And so what that means is that we're going to be a part of farmers markets again, arts festivals, urban art markets, Twilight concert series, gallery strolls, all of these things, even more. Our desire, again, is that people in our city would continue to see the Rock Church as a part of the city, connected to the city, concerned for the city. We want people in Salt Lake City to go, you know what? There's a church named the Rock Church, and they offer spiritual hope in Christ. If we want to impact our city with the name of Jesus, we need to be involved in the city in some things that they're doing as a witness for Christ. We need your help. And we recognize that it's going to be hard. And so we're wanting to equip you during our small groups and during our core meetings to send you out in the summer. So that is something you can expect. What about our small groups? Well, here's what you guys can expect in 2016. We want to grow deeper. And so rather than going through a particular study book like we've done several years ago, we thought that as pastors, the best way that we could grow deeper in our relationships with Jesus and with one another is simply to make it easy for you guys to be in your Bible and pray. That's what we want you guys to do in your small groups. And so the church purchased enough journals for everybody that's in a small group that they can talk about what God has been doing in their life, talk about what Scripture has been standing out to them, and then they come to a small group, they talk about how God has been encouraging them, and then we pray together. We're using something called the SOAP method. It's not the only way to read the Bible. It's just an easy thing to do. What this means is Scripture, observation, application, prayer. And so what that means is in your small group, you have a journal, you're going to come and you're going to write down a Scripture. And then you're going to talk to the people, how do you observe this? What does it mean in your life? How do you apply that in your life? And how can we pray for you? Again, our hope is that you would be in the Bible. We want you guys to be reading your Bible. Jesus is the truth. He said that he is going to impact and change your life. You guys need to know Jesus. We want to make that easy for you. And we also want you guys to grow deeper in your relationships with one another. And the best way to do that is to be honest with each other and share with each other with what's happening in your life. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be having 3 meetings a month in our small group. So the first Wednesday is the core. The following 3 meetings on a Wednesday are our small groups. 1 meeting a month is just to be a hangout, okay? So you're going to be having a core, small group, and then a hangout. Maybe you'll go bowling. Maybe you'll go get some food. But just to hang out to build community with each other. So that's what you guys can be encouraged with in 2016 for small groups, at least for the next several months. We also did this. We wanted to do something called Base Camp. Base Camp is this big idea. We know that we have lots of people that come here on a Saturday night, lots of visitors, and they know very little about the Christian faith. They know very little about what it means to be involved in a church or what it means to believe in Jesus. And so we wanted to put together a curriculum that helped people understand Jesus a bit better. We call it Base Camp. So May 14th, May 21st, May 28th, Tony and Austin and I were going to be talking about this in a class setting for 3 weeks in a row. We're going to be talking about all these things. Who is God? Who's Jesus? What about prayer? What are devotions? What about small groups? What about the local church? We want to answer those questions for new people so they know how to get involved in this church, fall more in love with Jesus, and fall more in love with one another. Now, again, these are just highlights of what's happening in 2016. There's also going to be lots of other things happening in church life. Another volunteer appreciation lunch, another core retreat that we're going to be doing. We have a women's conference that's planned in April. We're going to do Rocktoberfest again over the weekend of Halloween. This coming year in 2016, Christmas Eve falls on a Saturday night, so we're going to be doing Christmas Eve services. We're also going to be doing Faith Walkers. We've taken a break for the last couple of years, and we're going to be doing our regional conference in Colorado. I think it's going to be in Grand Junction, 4 hours away. It's going to be a couple of days of just intense teachings and being together. That's going to be happening this year as well. So here's what it means for you. There is a gigantic opportunity for you in this church. Let me give you a staggering statistic. Utah is less than 3% evangelical Christian. In fact, the exact statistic is 2.6% of the people in Utah know Jesus. That's more than 97% of the people in this city do not know Jesus. Here's a statistic for you. Utah in the United States is the least evangelized place in the entire country. The least statistically. People know less about Jesus in Utah than any other place in the country. There is an opportunity for you in this church to win the lost, to build the believer, to send the sanctified. Guys, let me just talk for a second on a rant. Here's what this means for you, and something that I want to encourage you guys, especially those of you that are already in small groups, those that already call this church their home church. You need to be doing 3 before me. What that means is that you need to be meeting 3 people before you go to your own social group. I can stand in one place and meet a minimum of 12 new people every Saturday. And just stand there. Hi, my name's Steele. Is your first time here? There are so many new people that come in here that don't know Christ. Less than 3% of the people in this city know Jesus, which means statistically, many people coming through these doors don't know Jesus. And you are the face of Christ to them. You are the friendly face. You are the smile. You are the invite. You are the gospel. And so before you go and hang out with your social group, go say hello to somebody you've never met. Welcome them. Tell them a bit about the church. Go beyond yourself. 3 people before yourself. That's what I want you to think about. Okay, we can do that as a church. Now think about this verse. Last couple things here, and then we're going to be done. This is in Isaiah, and I love this verse. God's saying, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Guys, if there has ever been a desert of spirituality, it is Utah. It is this city right now. And God's saying, I want to do a new thing. I want to bring life in your midst, streams in this wasteland. He wants to use you. He wants to use this church. Jesus had one command, reach the world. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We are to be on mission. Jesus called us to this great commission. Let me give you a personal verse, and then I'm going to end. I want you to think about the intensity of what I'm going to read here, talking about why it matters, why what we're doing matters. This is in 1 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul, he's talking about building a life around Jesus. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation, it's a metaphor, as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build on this foundation with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, that builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. The big idea here, guys, is that what we do matters. What we do is eternal. What we do lasts. And everything else that seems so important, even if we're Christians, the Lord reminds us, listen, those things, they're going to be burned up. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned with taking care of things or having nice things or being a part of this culture. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, where's our hope? Where's our time? Where's our heart? As a church, we need to be thinking about the things of Christ. How do we impact our culture? How do we win more people to Jesus? I know it's hard. I know it. Laying down your life is hard. It's hard to form community with ragtag people like yourself. It's hard to serve. It's hard to stand up for truth. It's hard to keep going sometimes. But it will last because it's eternal. It's scary, but it's good. I'm going to end with this. You've heard this quote before. C.T. Studd said this, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Let me just be honest with you guys as a pastor, and hopefully this doesn't offend anybody, and hopefully you know my heart. I am not interested in being a pastor of a safe church. If your idea of Christianity is to feel comfortable in a church where the music's maybe not too loud and the dress is maybe a little bit nicer and there aren't interesting personalities and there's not brokenness. If you're interested in being a part of a 20-minute sermon where it's wrapped up real tight in a little bow and you can go and just be a part of American Christianity, this is not your church. There's lots of other great churches. You can go there. I want to be a part of a church that is on mission. This church, by the way, should look so broken. You know what? If we went to a hospital and we were frustrated, why are all these sick people in a hospital? You'd be an idiot. Because a hospital is for sick people. A church should be a hospital where sick people come in, where there's brokenness, where there's sin, where there's all kinds of busted stuff in their life, where they're trying to get their crap together, where they're trying to find out what it means, where there's divorce and abuse and addiction and hell. And you come in here like a hospital and say, somebody show me the healer, and we point him to Jesus. The church should feel broken because God is the healer. Do you know this? Do you know that according to statistics, the Utah state is one of the most conservative states in the union, but it's also the highest addicted to prescription drugs, the highest with child abuse, the highest with pornography? What kind of people do we think are going to come into a church? Because if you want a real clean one, go somewhere else. I want the broken ones. I want to be the ones that are sharing Christ with those that need Jesus. And for those of you that have your lives together because God has helped you, help the broken ones. If you can keep down a job, if you got a good family, show other people how to do it. If you know how to love people, show other people how to do it. We need to be a hospital so that people can come in here and say, I am sick and I need help. And we will say, you've come to the right place. Jesus can help you. That is the kind of church
we want to be a part of. We want to equip you. We want to worship God. We want to win the lost. We want to build the believer, and we want to send the sanctified. And by God's grace, we're going to do it. Okay? Let's pray, and then we're going to get out of here. Lord, thanks for tonight. Thanks that we get to be a part of the greatest mission in the world. Thank you, Jesus, that you, by your grace, have equipped us to do this. Lord, that it's on your heart. You said, sick people need a doctor, not healthy people. Lord, we want to be a hospital. And we recognize that we need your help, because on our own, we're not good enough. But we have you. And Jesus, even I repent. God, sometimes I can be so selfish. I can be so self-consumed. I want church to be what I want it to be. Thank you for who you bring. Thank you that we get to love the people you bring. Help us to do that better. God, we repent of being fussy about our community at times, of being self-absorbed. Help me, Jesus. I repent of that. Help me to love those that you bring. God, as a church, we pray that 2016 would be more amazing than any other church that we, any other year that we've been a part of as a church. Help us, Lord. We love you, Lord. We say these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.